Good morning.
Good morning.
For when you consider last year and this year, today is a beautiful, beautiful day, because last year we had snow and ice on this day. So, but get ready, I understand about 4 days from now it's going to be in the teens again at night. So, if you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are a couple of announcements I want to bring attention to. One is we're not going to have a Wednesday evening service this week, so make note of that. Also, I want to thank everybody that had a part of all of our decorating the church, chat and sip, and all the special programs that went on during Christmas. I know it's a hectic and a busy time for everyone, and we appreciate your willingness to serve and help. And understand, John, you've got...
Just a reminder that the offering boxes for next year, 2022, are out in the vestibule. If you haven't picked up yours, please do so this morning. If you didn't have a box last year of offering envelopes and you would like one, there are some blank boxes out there. You just need to write down the box number that you took and your name so that I can record it in the records. Okay, thanks.
Any other announcements?
I just want to thank you all as the congregation for all the outpouring of love and support and the food and everything that you did for my dad and the family this past Tuesday. We appreciate it so much, and we are so blessed to have this as our church family, and we thank you for everything that you did. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, that's a former choir director here that was here for, 15 years or somewhere in that neighborhood.
No, it's only been like
10. I know it.
About 10.
10 years, yeah,
maybe
10 years.
But for those that don't know who Ronnie's talking about, and there's one other thing, too, is the... John just told me that the budget's been finalized, that we approved as a session, and copies will be made, and there'll be down on the bulletin board this next week downstairs. Yeah.
Can you get a personal copy?
Pardon?
Can you get a personal copy?
You can get a personal copy if you'd like one, yes. Yeah. Any other announcements? Well, if not, take your bulletin and let's turn to the inside front cover and do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Thank you.
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. And it is Emmanuel. We'll sing it twice. Please stand.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just asking that your presence be here with us. We ask, Lord, that you bless each person here and be with those, especially, Lord, that are shut in and can't be here. And I think about so many in our congregation that are ill and infirmed and just can't get out and about anymore, Lord. And we just ask that your presence be with them. Help us as a church to reach out and surround them with love and let them know that they're still a part of this congregation and sorely missed. And we ask, Lord, that you be with each and every person that came through our doors today. Guide us, direct us, and forgive us for our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn on your hymnal to number 125. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Oh,
seated. And if you would take your bulletin, as you know, we're going through the shorter catechisms. And this morning we're going to do question 89 and 90. I'll read the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold in your bulletin. Question 89. How's the word made official to salvation?
The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation.
How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation?
That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives.
And as we come to a time with our tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:8, and it reads, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your storehouse. We ask, Lord, that you bless each gift and each giver and help us as a church, Lord, to use these funds wisely and to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We have a great opportunity as we meet together to pray for those who are here in our congregation, for those who are here in our town, our city, around our nation. We have the opportunity to lift up to the Lord those needs that are all around us. So at this time, let's bow as we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have a God who loves us, a God who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, you call on us to lay our burdens before you, and in the meantime, to give thanks for all that you've done. So, Father, we do come to you this morning in humbleness and bow before you as our Lord and as our God and as our King. Our Father, we pray and ask you to watch over those who are on the road today, who are traveling because of the holidays, and members of our congregation who aren't here with us right now. And we pray and ask that your hand would rest on them to bring them back home safely. And Lord, we also pray for those who, through this holiday season, are struggling with difficulties through the loss of a loved one or through alienation with family members or through the difficulties, the emotional problems that seem to be accentuated during this time of the year. And Lord, we ask that you would bring peace and comfort to those who are grieving, for those who are mourning, and for those who are troubled. Our Father, we also pray for those who are struggling with physical difficulties. And Lord, as our healer, we ask and pray that you would touch each person physically and heal them from these difficulties and pains and problems that they're facing. Father, we ask for your mercy and grace over our nation. And Lord, we know that we are a nation divided and that we can only be healed by your hand. So Lord, we pray and ask that you would allow your Spirit to make a great move here in this country, in the United States of America and beyond, around this world, that the evil that men do would discontinue, that you would stop it. And Lord, in the process, that you would bind together those who have a heart for you and those who are searching for you in their lives. Our Father, we ask and pray for our church, for Malvern Hills Presbyterian, and Lord, we ask that you would continue to bind us together as a family, that Lord, as we grow in our love for you, that we would grow in our love for one another. And Lord, again, we thank you for the fact that you have held us together through difficult times and that you're strengthening us and preparing us for what lies ahead. And Lord, we ask now that by your grace and mercy that you would allow your Spirit to come and bless us during this service, that you would increase our joy, that you would multiply our love for you and for one another. And we thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 104. 104. Please stand. We'll sing this together. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Number 104.
Teach me song, the Lord is song.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. And our scripture reading is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. And hear now the word of God. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. It's good to know that we have all survived the Christmas season to this point. I know we've probably all got a shirt to wear talking about it, all the things that we've been through. It's been an exciting week. Exciting 2 weeks as we prepare and get ready. You know, one of the traditions that we have, that Annie and I have at home, is that every Christmas season, we like to watch the Christmas Carol on television. You know, this is something that has kind of, we've done year by year, and we've looked for different versions of the Christmas Carol, and there are a bunch of them. You just go on YouTube and type in either Christmas Carol or Scrooge or something like that, you'll come up with a number of different movies. And we've seen the ones from 1932 and the ones from 1941 and the one from 1951. We like to look at all of them. And then, of course, some of the more recent ones, we like to watch those too. It's just, it's really interesting to see the different perspectives that are given in each one of those. We kind of favor the one from 1951. And that was Alastair Sims was the main person in that, and it just really gives a good portrayal of the Christmas Carol. And you know, in the Christmas Carol, there are three different spirits or three different ghosts, and those are the spirits of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And actually, as you look at this, you may be able to identify with some of the things that Scrooge had to go through as he looked back on his past and the things that happened, the opportunities that he had to have a really good life that he bypassed or that he turned away from, or Christmas present where he saw that there were things that he could have done to help people and to benefit people, but he chose not to. And of course, Christmas future, when he was told that unless things change, this is what you have to look forward to. Three different parts of his life, and we can identify with those. Actually, the Apostle Paul spoke about things that were very similar to this. In the passage that we read today, and I know that it was a lengthy passage, but there was a reason for that. The Apostle Paul says that forgetting what lies behind and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal, and there was the past, and there was the present, and there was the future. And he compares life to a race, and like running laps, and each year at the end, it gives us the opportunity to reflect and to look back. And since today is the last Sunday of 2021, we have the opportunity through this week to be able to look at the past, and we can look at the present, and we can look at the future, and we can make determinations. You know, I learned a long time ago an old saying that says, the doors of destiny turn on small hinges. And what that means is that there are consequences for our decisions, and we make decisions today, and that guides us and leads us into something tomorrow. And I believe that Paul was saying that to us. And he gives us some sound advice as we enter into this new year, preparing ourselves for the new year. What do we have to look forward to? And how will we proceed? And will we be ready? I want to look closer at that, because one of the first things that he tells us in this is forgetting what lies behind. Now, there are many things that I'm sure we'll be very happy to leave behind. Things about 2021, things about 2020, some of the instances, some of the problems and trials and struggles that we've been through over the last 2 years. It'll be great to put those things behind us. The mistakes, the failures, the painful experiences. Sometimes people will allow the past to control their thoughts about the future. Maybe you've known somebody that has gone through a very bad experience, and in the process they've locked onto that, and everything seems to be colored or shadowed by that tragedy or by that event. Annie was very good friends with a lady who had two sons, and both of them died in car accidents when they were in their 20s. Both sons. And everything that she talked about was in reference to the death of one of the sons or the other one of the sons. It had dominated her thinking over that time, and she couldn't get away from it. Well, sometimes we get stuck into those situations and we'll allow the problems of yesterday to affect us today and even tomorrow. And I believe Paul is saying, putting those things behind. Some of you may remember the cartoon character in Winnie the Pooh called Eeyore. And Eeyore was the donkey, and he was always sad about everything. You know, they could say, what a beautiful sunny day it is. Yes, but tomorrow it's going to rain. And every time you'd say something positive to him, he would have something desperately sad to say. And I think Paul was saying, I don't want you to be Eeyores, like that other cartoon character that walked around and he always had a cloud over his head and it was raining constantly. No matter where he went, he had a rain cloud over his head raining on him. And Paul's saying, no, I don't want that for you. I want you to forget about those things. Some of you may remember the story about how they train elephants in India. And if you've ever been to a circus or you've ever seen a live elephant, you know that they'll drive a stake into the ground, and they'll tie a rope, not a chain, but a rope around that stake, and then they'll tie it to the back leg of the elephant. Now, here's an elephant that could take a tree and lift it out of the ground by its roots, and yet it won't test that stake. It'll pull against it, but it never pulls it out. And you wonder, well, how do they train the elephant to do that? Well, the way they train the elephant to do that is that when the elephant is very young, they drive a stake into the ground and concrete it in so it can't be pulled out. And then they'll take that rope and they'll tie the rope around it and they'll put a cinch knot on the other end and put it around the elephant's leg. And as the little elephant pulls against that, it'll get tighter and tighter until it causes tremendous pain. And as a result, as that elephant grows, it'll never test that again. Well, you see, that's what happens to us in life. We go through situations where we have painful experiences, where we've done things that are really hurtful to us. And then we say, well, I'm never going to try that again. I will never do that again because that's just too painful. And I believe that what Paul is saying is that we need to put those things behind us. The painful experiences, the arguments that we've had, the embarrassing situations that we've gone through. And all of us go through this. And he says, putting these things behind. And you know, it's not only, though, the negative things. Sometimes it's the positive things. Sometimes it's the successes, the things that we did that really brought us great success or great joy. And it's our tendency to want to live at that moment forever, always looking back. Some of you may remember a television show called Married with Children. And you remember Ted Bundy was a shoe salesman. And all he ever talked about was the fact that in high school, he scored 4 touchdowns in one game. Here he is, he's in his 50s, and he's talking about scoring 4 touchdowns when he was in high school. And sometimes we want to hold on to those victories and those joys and live in those things. Well, these successes sometimes will drag us down. In fact, we know that Napoleon warned his generals before they went into battle that more battles are lost to overconfidence than to anything else. And sometimes we can become so confident in ourselves and in our own abilities that we don't really look to the Lord for our strength. We don't ask God for guidance and help. We just assume that God will be there. I'm gonna go to a city and I'm gonna make a lot of money and And James says, no, say, if God wills, if the Lord wills. We can't become overconfident in life. And that's part of what Paul was talking about when he said, if anybody has reason to have confidence in the flesh, I have a lot more. Because look at my life. Look at all the things. A Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the 8th day, goes through this whole litany. This is what I have for me. And he says, I've counted all this as rubbish. I don't take stock in any of this. The only thing that I look to with confidence is the fact that Jesus loves me and that he cares for me. And it's not because of anything I've done. It's because of everything he has done. He is my Lord. We're warned in Scripture several times not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, to take no confidence in the flesh. We are dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says, forgetting what lies behind. And you know, to me, this says, let's forget about everything that's happened in these last couple of years that have been so traumatic and so damaging to so many people. And I realize that there are many that are struggling with this right now and sometimes with fear, with great fear or anxiety about the future. We hear these things, these reports about what they're planning to do in the future. Let me tell you something. We are in God's hands, and God alone determines our path and our future. I want to challenge you with one thing. That's all I'm going to say about it. But if you're worried about Omicron, ask yourself this one question. How come no one else is getting Delta? How come all of a sudden there aren't any more cases? Or how about Beta? All the former things, that variants that are passed down, nobody ever talks about anymore. Well, if it was that dangerous then, why isn't it dangerous now? We have to be able to think logically about these things and to be able to move forward. Our Savior watches over Israel. He watches over his people. And we don't have to walk in fear. He's protecting us. Doesn't mean that we just throw caution to the wind. Of course not. But neither do we walk in fear. Our Lord is watching over us and he's protecting us. So forgetting what lies behind. We're on the brink of a brand new year, 2022. And what does he say that we're supposed to be doing? He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And the only picture that comes to my mind there are the runners that are out there competing, maybe in the Olympics. And you know, they're getting closer to the finish line and they're giving it everything they can give it for that last little push, straining forward to win the prize. And really, it's kind of exciting to watch those because you know they're giving it everything they can. And I saw a thing on YouTube, maybe you've seen this too, but it's pictures of people that kind of lost their concentration at the last minute, and somebody snuck right by them and won. They thought that they had victory, and they're just kind of running along, waving at everybody, and all of a sudden, somebody comes right by them and crosses the finish line just seconds before them. That's called snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. And what Paul is saying is, no, don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your edge on that. Strain forward. And what I hear him saying is that in this coming year, we've got this great opportunity to give it everything we have, to be everything that God has called us to be. This is how we should look at the coming year. Now, how's this possible? Well, it's possible because our faith in Jesus Christ is not based on circumstances. We have lots of circumstances around us right now that are trying to pull us down and trying to defeat us. But our faith in God isn't based on any of that. It's based on a God who never changes. God knew perfectly well what was going to happen in this country and around the world in 2020 and 2021. None of this comes as a surprise to him. But I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says, well, if these things happen, then you need to change everything. You need to stop being the Christian that I called on you to be, that I saved you to be, and just follow the agenda of the world around you. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Our faith in God is not based on circumstances. It's based on God's promises. And God's promises never change. He says, and you've heard this many times, I know the plans that I have for you. And they're plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And people say, all right, he said that to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11. He said that to Jeremiah, but how do you know he meant that for everybody? Why wouldn't he? So he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead. He said, I press on to the goal. I'm pressing on to the goal. Now, you know, there are goals that we have as human beings, personal goals, things that we would like to accomplish. And, you know, some of you may be familiar with Tony Robbins, Anthony Robbins, and he has a series on self-help and whatever, and I know he's fallen into disrepute over the past years, but I think a lot of what he said in trying to motivate people was very true. And part of it was that we have to set goals for ourselves. You know, it's like if we don't have a target, we'll never hit it. We'll never hit the bullseye. Like the person that shoots an arrow into a barn and then paints a bullseye around it and says, yeah, I hit it. And sometimes that's the way we're prone to live our lives, and that is that we just let life live us. But we need to have goals. We need to have things out there that we're shooting for, that we're looking at. And Paul said, you know, I press on to the goal. And his goal was not a worldly goal. You know, I mean, we can have goals like, you know, I want to be successful in this, or I want to lose weight. In fact, that's the number one New Year's resolution, and that is how many pounds you're going to lose in the month of January. And the problem with these goals are that they're not long-lasting. You know, by the second week in January, oh, forget that. I think I told you about that individual that was on this diet, and somebody came to him, and they said, well, how's your diet going? And he said, you know, I just wasn't getting enough to eat, so I had to start a second diet. And so our problem is that when we set these temporal goals, that we're not all that motivated to see it through. It used to be really big to talk about New Year's resolutions, you know, and what do you resolve to do? What do you resolve to be? And if you've ever set a New Year's resolution, how long did it last? It was temporal. It probably didn't last very long. I'd love to say that we're disciplined enough and we're focused enough to maintain that goal all the way through the year. Very, very seldom is that actually the case. But if we set spiritual goals, and our goals are tied to our relationship to Jesus Christ, these are things that last. What lies ahead? Paul says that I press on to the goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus. And you know Paul's life. You know what he went through. He wrote much of the New Testament while he was in prison. And even though he did have temporal goals, you know, I want to visit this place, I want to be able to go there, he knew that he was in God's hands and in God's control. And so his goal was the upward call. And if you translate that out, what it means is, I want to be everything that God has called me to be. I want to be the man or the woman that God has created me to be. I don't want to sacrifice anything. I don't want to shrink back from anything. I want to be everything that I can be. That's what we call enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is an interesting word because it starts with the word en, E-N, which is into, and theos, which is God. It means basically, I want to be into God. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. What greater goal could we have? Now, what are the obstacles to that? Well, the obstacles whirl around us. You know, listening to the news on television, becoming depressed and discouraged and fearful. Well, that stops us dead in our tracks. We can't be everything that God wants us to be when we're shrinking back in fear. So we make up our minds in the beginning of 2022. I'm going to lay it on the line. I'm going to allow God to move me in the way he wants to move me. And I don't care what other people think. I don't care what the government thinks. I don't care about that. I'm going to be everything that he wants me to be. Now, we're fortunate enough that we don't have a government that's saying we can't meet or that we have to follow certain religious regulations. We don't have that at this point. And we know that we have freedom, and we need to use that freedom to its fullest while it's still ours. We need to use that freedom to be everything God wants us to be. And you say, well, what does that mean, actually? Well, think about your life and think about what God has called us to be. God didn't save us so that one day we could go to heaven. If that were the case, he'd save us at the very end, or he would take us immediately after we were saved. He saved us and he leaves us here so that we can be his people and that we can influence the world. We are the salt, we are the light to influence the people around us. This is what Paul means when he says, I press on to the goal. And sometimes it requires sacrifice. Sometimes it's painful sometimes. But when we know that it's the Lord and we know that God is calling us to do it, it's worth it. It's worth whatever the cost. And in all of this, we're told not to grow weary. Don't grow weary in doing good. Because if you don't grow weary, you'll reap. And that's what we want. We want to see God's kingdom expanded, God's kingdom to grow. It's such a joy to know that we're part of something that God has his hand on, that God is blessing. And we're willing to give it everything that we can give. You know, I've been so blessed here in this church to watch people who are willing to give their time and their energy to do the things that nobody praises them for, but they're just there doing things, whether it's decorating the church or doing things down in the kitchen, preparing meals, or, you know, and they don't get praise for that, but they do it because of the joy that comes as a result of that, that I'm doing something that's going to bless God's people. And they're excited about that, and that's God's blessing. Forgetting what lies behind, oh, what happened then, that's over with. And looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal. A renewed commitment to be everything that God has called us to be. 2020, the year is coming. And I believe in my heart it's going to be a year of victory. Not another year of lockdown, not another year of fear. It's going to be a breakout year. And we're going to see God at work in ways that we've never seen him at work before. We should be excited. And that's why we should strain forward. And we should pray every single day, God, let me be everything that you've called me to be. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice, let me be everything you've called me to be. Well, we've been through a lot in the last 2 years. It's been very difficult. And I know that some of our older members here may remember, even as a child, you may remember World War II and what happened from 1943 to 1945. We entered the war in 41, but from 43 to 45, there was a weariness in America. People were so weary. They were tired. And it was a struggle. But when victory was declared in 1945, there was a whole new attitude. There was a joy and a feeling of expectation in America that carried for years and years and years as people were thankful and grateful for what God gave them. There was great prosperity. I believe that we're on the edge of something equally as exciting as what happened there. It may not be in 2022, maybe 2023. But rather than looking at the future with disappointment or discouragement, we need to be full of hope, full of excitement about what God is about to do. An old TV commercial used to say, "You only go around once in life, so grab all the gusto you can." And I believe that's what Paul was saying when he said, forgetting what lies behind, looking forward to what lies ahead, press on to the goal. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so thankful and grateful that you are sovereign. You're a sovereign God, and that no man can stand against you. So, Lord, we pray and ask that you would encourage us now with the knowledge that you're at work, that we don't need to be fearful of men, that we're in your hands. And we pray that you would give us the desire and the motivation to forget what lies behind and to look forward to what lies ahead and to press on to the goal. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 86. Number 86, we'll sing the first two verses here and then the third verse of number 86 for our benediction response. So please stand and let's sing these first two verses. Number 86, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Please bow for the benediction. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.